You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Monday morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Monday edition of All Marine Radio right here on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network. So I've got a gardening question for anybody out there who is a gardener. Okay. Is it better to water your lawn like maybe once or twice a week and soak it? Or is it better to water it on like a nightly basis for a short period of time? That's my question. I have my own statistical and optical evidence. I'm curious about what a professional would say. So if you are one or you have an opinion, let me know. Shoot me an email, send a text, whatever you want to do. Go to the website, click on Contact Us. All that comes to me. So I did a lot of yard work on Saturday. Sunday, and I did a lot of thinking about the book that I'm producing, okay, and what that should look like. So I want to talk about that in a second. And then on Sunday, Colleen is playing volleyball at a over in Anaheim, by the Magic Kingdom, right? So I went to, so I watched her play on Sunday. What they've done, I've never seen a place like this, right? Although other people have told me, yeah, I've been to that. It's crazy. There is 32 volleyball courts inside this warehouse. So what they did was Anaheim, for whatever reason, kind of interesting, but so, Anaheim is the home of Disneyland. I don't know who the visionary in Anaheim was that zoned the area on both sides of the freeway there, I-5 as it runs north-south in California. They zoned it like commercial industrial. So there's all these warehouses there. Now, it's interesting that I don't know how many years ago, maybe 10 years ago, the city of Anaheim announced an initiative that they would redevelop the area, a corridor that runs essentially between Disneyland, Anaheim's, and Anaheim Stadium, and then still further east to the pond where the Ducks play, the Anaheim Mighty Duck, and they're not the Mighty Ducks anymore, the Anaheim Ducks play. And they would redevelop that. Commercial, retail, corridor, blah, 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 blah. And leverage Disneyland and the stadium and the arena to attract investment. And they've really changed it because it used to be just kind of hotels that were built in the late 50s, early 60s. And it was kind of run down and Anaheim not so much. But anyway, I digress. It's just, it was an interesting zoning, you know, that it seemed like Anaheim could have attracted a lot of investment, a lot of nice investment. And a lot of long-term investment based on the attendance of Disneyland. They did not really do that, except right around the park. So anyway, there's this huge truck warehouse, right? Got the roll doors on both sides, and all it is volleyball and basketball courts. The whole thing. So, I'd never been there. I walk in, I'm like, are you kidding me? This thing is unbelievable. Like, how do I even get to a court? Well, they have, like, little aisles that you kind of snake your way through, walking close to the courts. And so I went and watched volleyball yesterday for just about the entire day. And pretty cool. And, you know, one of the things that I thought about, I'm sitting there watching, and, you know, you see, you know, schools are essentially, you know, they're kids of every color going to most schools, and volleyball, which was, you know, for years and years and years, notoriously a very white sport, no longer that way. And I'm sitting there looking, look at all these young kids, the girls playing volleyball. And I don't know why the thought pops into my head, you know, they have, you know, they're competing and they're full of life and whatnot. And we have leaders in this country that won't solve the problems that face the country. I thought, you know, how do they go to sleep at night knowing that they're not making a difference, knowing that they're not pushing it, making the country better? That's what I really don't get. I don't get that. So, anyway, so my weekend. So if you know anything about grass, shoot me an email. All right. The other thing I finalized in my head was the format for the post-traumatic winning book. Yeah. So I've been, you know, the book's essentially written. The book is the work that I do every time I go someplace. It is that. So to produce it is, you know, well, I'm not going to say it's easy because it's not, but to sit down and do it is the execution part. So here's what I've been wrestling with. Who reads books anymore? Now, everybody listening to this will say, well, I read on occasion. Do young people read books? What was the last book one of your kids read? Good question, right? So I would say my opinion is the vast majority of young people do not read. Do not read. Mark that down as DNR in your scorecard. On your scorecard. So, okay. All right, let me hit the pause on the book. Saturday morning, I got up and had breakfast with F-18 man, Napa man, and another one of our friends from he's my battle buddy times two from both Iraq in 2004 when he was in Ramadi and then Afghanistan. We were together too. And I don't want to sound like too much of a geek about seeing my friends, but we had breakfast at Oceanside Harbor at a place called the Stratford. And I'll tell you, if you're looking for good food, the Stratford at Oceanside Harbor, order the ABC omelet, and which is avocado, bacon, and I'm not sure what the C stands for, cheese, maybe? Delicious, absolutely delicious, right there on the harbor, on the water, fishing boats going in and getting ready to go out. So anyway, but to be in the company of your battle buddies, laughing your ass off, Napa Man can imitate aviation platforms like no man I've ever seen in my life. No, like, crazy. And they come to him spontaneously, and while he's doing them, you know, he puts stuff in there. And I'll give you an example. He imitated an Osprey, right, that was coming in for a landing in Afghanistan that I still think is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. You know, his cheeks puff out, he's got his elbows out with his palms up, and then, you know, simulating the Osprey engines rotating, and then he goes into this Red Dawn event, shooting occurring, and I almost lost it. I was laughing my ass off. And so Napa Man was there, and he started doing aviation stuff, which he's not an aviation guy, but he's fascinated by it for some reason. I don't know why. Yeah. And so, anyway, he was giving advice to F-18 man, who's now a pilot. He's a commercial pilot now, so. He was giving advice on how to talk to the passengers. Not to be afraid to go long format, not to be afraid to go maybe 15 or 20 minutes, interrupt a movie for 15, 20 minutes. Well, it gives them a little, you know, kind of info on the flight, the route, some current events going on, and then maybe an opinion or two about what he thinks. And so, and then he went into his kind of imitation, which was hilarious. But as I was driving down to Oceanside, right, the mood change over me, knowing I was going to see my friends, geek-like. Not going to lie to you, straight-up geek-like. And I have some of the best friends in the world. And they are good dudes, and they're funny. So did that on Saturday morning before I turned to on yard work and doing stuff around the house. So I think I've conquered my lawn, finally. I fight with my sprinkler system all the time. No longer is a fight. I have summarily defeated that son of a bitch. Yeah. I have declared victory over my lawn. So anyway, I feel good about that. But I'm curious about the, when you should water. That's the remaining variable. So anybody can give me some advice. All right. Now, let me go back to the book. So I'm contemplating the book. Okay, and I've been contemplating the book. And it wasn't in my head to write a 300-page book about post-traumatic winning is not what I want to do because, as I said, young people don't read books like that. Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, so what should it be? Well, it should be something that they can download to their phone, yay. All right, so you got to write something, though, right? Okay, so the chapters, in terms of prose, should be very short. If you want them to buy it, and you want them to read it and experience it, so it helps them. I mean, in theory, that's why you do it, right? Okay. So my idea was, so whatever prose, it should be, you know, 2-3 pages, blunt, direct statements about that chapter. And then there should be, the concept is, so the next part of it is hit play on the audio link for that chapter. So I read it. I can either listen while I'm working out. I can listen while I drive. I can listen while I'm cooking dinner. I can listen while I'm maybe doing work. So then they listen to that. And then below that, there might be there would be links to longer format interviews about those subjects that have aired on All Marine Radio. Yeah. So you buy and download the book, sits on your phone, right? You get what post-traumatic winning is all about. You listen to the segments, and the segments really line up with what I do when I do the presentation. So I've decided that's what the book's going to look like. So look for it in the not too distant future as I produce it. I think I have to get into, you know, e-commerce and how you actually do that, but I don't need a publisher for that. You know, I'll self-publish and make it cheap because I want people to buy it. What, 10 bucks, 15 bucks? $14.99 post-traumatic winning. And then, you know, the other cool thing is in that format, right, I can have an update button there. And anytime they, you know, anytime they would go to it, right, maybe the first screen that shows up is an update exists. You know, they hit that, it updates their content, and now they have, you know, they have the latest content. So anyway, I'm excited about that. And then the other thing over the weekend is the Army, an Army unit has expressed interest in post-traumatic winning. So how cool is that? So the what's changed about post-traumatic winning, and I said this last week, is that it's no longer a theoretical proposition, right? It comes with a data set now. And there's no reason why other units can't replicate the results of what's happening with the 2nd Marine Division. So it's a fun weekend, exciting weekend. The interest of the United States Army, I can't tell you how much that thrills me. I'd be remiss if I did not say something about General Furness. Just for the record, no other large organization in the Marine Corps has embraced post-traumatic winning. Just for the record, the Marine Corps has not embraced post-traumatic winning, although different individual commanders have sought me out after hearing it, and they have they brought me to their command. Right? The Marine Corps initially showed interest, and then it stopped. So, and I won't get into why, but I know why. And I think it's sad that the service that I love, that the culture that this comes out of, is not interested, that there's other services that are more interested. And so I'd be remiss if I did not laud the efforts of General David Furness at the 2nd Marine Division. And every subordinate leader that has had a huge impact on that division. And most importantly, the number of suicides in that division. Again, today is August the 12th. Right? It's been 8 months since I visited the 2nd Marine Division. In the preceding 5 months, they had 6 suicides. In the subsequent 8 months, they've had 1. So, and that is the number that that gets people's attention. Right? That is the number that gets people's attention. So, I would be remiss if I did not. I think there's a level of political correctness that infects the General Officer Corps. Makes them afraid to do things when other people say, well, this guy's not a PhD. What the fuck does he know? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've just been a leader my whole life. I've been dealing with trauma most of my life. I've interviewed more people that live with it than most people do in a lifetime. Yeah, but what the fuck do I know? So anyway, I that's not my point. My point is this. My point is General Furness, you know, he will tell you it was a no-brainer for him. But there's a whole lot of other leaders out there who continue to experience people committing suicide who haven't said, no, no, we're going to do this. I think that's pathetic. I think they're pathetic. So, anyway, with that off my chest, it's exciting, though, that other services are interested. And what I'd like to do with them is simply to develop a cadre of instructors that can go within their service and can do post-traumatic winning. They got to be unique people, though, and so we'll see what happens. All right, I get an email here about watering, so let me take a look at this, and then we'll officially begin the program. Good morning, Mac. My neighbor, who retired from the lawn fertilizer plant, whose grass is as healthy and green as could be, stated, watering morning. At night, it could mildew due to sitting with no sunlight. Also use nitrogen fertilizer, near 30% nitrogen. Most you will see is 29% nitrogen. It makes a huge difference. Big Dave in Vacaville. All right, so I should water like at 4 or 5 in the morning. All right, I'll change that. I'll change that. Mildew. Come on, I've never seen a lawn with mildew on it. Like, what the hell is that? Oh, they've heard that. My ex-wife said that to me. Because I asked her, I said, hey, does your mom, she has a gardener. She said, well, if you water at night, it might mildew. I said, well, come on, what does that mean? Like, have you ever walked by a lawn and say, oh, shit, look at all the mildew in there. They must water at night. I never heard that. But Big Dave in Vacaville. maybe my ex-wife is right. I hope she's not listening. Yeah. God forbid I get that. I get that, like, thrown at me again. No, you know what? My ex-wife and I have a great relationship, I'm proud to say. And we hung out yesterday watching Colleen play volleyball. And, in fact, I threatened some women. I told them, I'll send my ex-wife over here. She'll beat all you guys up. In volleyball, yeah, like during the game, right, the team switch sides, right? But the parents don't get up and move. So I'm sitting there watching the game. Me and I'm sitting next to this guy. And my ex-wife is there. Well, these women from the other team, they all got up and moved. It's so, like, you play the first game, you win that. It's 2 out of 3. You play the second game. If the other team wins that, you play a third game. So the first two games are 25. The third game is the 15. That's how you play in volleyball. All right. So the team switch sides. Well, the parents don't switch sides. Well, these parents did. All these women came walking over. And I wasn't moving. So I look. I'm like, oh. And they all sit down. And, you know, we kind of move over. And I said, oh, so do we got to move now? And they said, well, no, but, I said, oh, really, like that? And they started laughing. I said, look, don't give me a tough time. I'll get my ex-wife over here. She's not afraid to drop the gloves with you guys. They were like, hey, we don't want any part of that. I'd like, yeah, because she can throw them. So then, ultimately, I moved. So I walked over and I said, hey, I just told those women that you were going to kick their ass. She said, what? Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, all right, maybe she's right, God forbid. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official the 12th day of August. Most kids around the country are going back to school pretty quick, summer over. Yeah, in the middle, this not even a little bit over a third of the way through August, and the summer is over. The summer is over, how about that? Whoa. All right. Good morning to you. This is dedicated to my nephew, who became a second lieutenant on Saturday. Yeah. Ott Frenzel. I went to OCS and the basic school with his dad and served with his dad in 1st Light Armored Vehicle Battalion back in 1985. That's right. And got a bunch of great pictures from him. And it's always cool. This is my second nephew that has become a lieutenant here in the last, 8 months. And, you don't call them Marines till they earn it. And you send them a text message that say, hey, Marine, congratulations. And I think all of us who remember what it was like to, covet that title and, they lord it over you. Back when I went through officer candidate school, we had iron-ons, right, for our utility uniform. And they would, when they would get inspected, and they would see those in your footlocker, and they would say, what are these for? you're not going to need these. You will never be a Marine. And you're just like, damn it. Damn it. You know, and then the day that, you know, you see now, it's a much more formalized event, right? The crucible at recruit training, when somebody presses that Eagle Globe and anchor in your hand, and you become a Marine, right? You see the emotion that goes with that, for those of you who have seen it. If you haven't, just go on the internet and do a search on Crucible, Recruit Training Marine Corps, and watch some of the videos. Right, it comes at the end of the exercise. They're in their, you know, they're out in the field, and that's where you become a Marine. And it's the coolest. It's honestly the coolest experience. And we all remember, you know, what that day was like. So, dedicated to my nephew, Ott. Congratulations, Marine. I did that so well, and then played the wrong song.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marine, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that little paying outfit for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. putting their lives on the line. I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country, we care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather. My friend Brian Fitzgibbon's favorite part of the program. What is that? How can the weather be your favorite part of the program? All the great stuff in All Marine Radio, and I think Fitz is trying to mess with me. All right. Standing by for the current temperatures to pop up. Currently sunny in 84 in Quantico, partly cloudy in 87 at Marine Corps Base Camp Lejeune, home of the 2nd Marine Division. Sunny in 82, cooled off a little bit at the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center, home of Task Force Ripper and the 7th Marine Regimental Combat Team 7. Cloudy in 62 at Camp Pendleton, which is the home of 1 Meth. Clouds and dark and 80 at Camp Smith in Hawaii, home of the Brigade, the 3rd Marine Regiment. It is dark, cloudy in 83 in Okinawa. They only have 2 weather alerts, so their stormy weather from last week is obviously taken leave. Sunny at 110 in Ramadi late in the afternoon. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it's actually cooled off. Dark, cloudy in 95. At the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is cloudy in 66. Looking for a high today of 79. Tomorrow, 83. Wednesday, 86. What? All right. We'll take a break. We come back. I've got some Jack Keane standing by. Russia had an explosion. Yeah, recently. And all of a sudden, everybody is buying iodine to counteract what's rumored to be radiation in the air. Elevated levels of radiation. And the Russian government, until I think yesterday or late last night, hadn't said a word about it. You know, just for the record, it's not really good when something nuclear explodes or goes sideways and you put your hands in your pockets and you give the nothing to see here, keep it moving. Not really the way to do it. So, we'll check news of the day. Sad news, Marine killed in Iraq in combat operations. So, we'll talk about that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on a Monday, right here on your home for, on a motivated Monday, honestly. The interest of the Air Force, the interest now of the Army, very exciting as hopefully the ideas behind the peer-to-peer program that is post-traumatic winning, and then it transitioned to becoming a peer-to-anybody program, gained traction. So pretty exciting. More of this fun program coming up next. Don't touch that dial.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255. And press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Colleen played the best volleyball she's ever played yesterday. Yeah. I get frustrated as her dad because she still doesn't know how to hit. Her feet don't know what to do, you know, instinctively know what to do. And she doesn't get taught very well. And it pisses me off. And so, but everything she's hitting for whatever reason, under the broad heading of the sun shines on a dog's ass every once in a while, everything she hits, she scored a point. And I'm sitting there thinking she has no idea where that thing's going. And the good part is, nobody else did either. So it worked. All right, let's go to the news. First of all, let me play some audio from Jack Keane. I love Jack Keane, all right? And he was talking about the Taliban. Evidently, negotiations with the Taliban or quote-unquote peace talks ended without an agreement. He came on. He was on Fox News a bit ago. Here's what he had to say.
From what we hear, What's coming out of those talks is that the United States is willing to pull all of our troops out with the guarantee that the Taliban will prevent the Al-Qaeda from ever establishing a safe haven again. That means that we are putting the security of the American people in the hands of the Taliban. They fundamentally cannot be trusted, and that makes, I think, for a flawed deal.
Well, Jennifer Griffin follows up for the Pentagon now. Jennifer?
Well, Bill, today marked the unsuccessful end of 8 rounds of U.S.-led negotiations with the Taliban as that September 1st deadline by the Trump administration looms. A short time ago, President Trump's special envoy to the peace talks said in a tweet, quote, "We've concluded this round of talks that started August 3rd between the U.S. and the Taliban. Over the last few days, the two sides focused on technical details. They were productive. I am on my way back to D.C. to consult on next steps." The end of negotiations corresponds.
All right, there's a little Fox News for you reporting this morning. So, again, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, that deal didn't work out, because nobody I talk to is optimistic that you're going to trust the Taliban. They're going to be the people that implement this thing. What, are you stupid? Do you not understand, that deals with the infidel are worthless? They mean nothing. You're morally obligated to do what you need to do to get the infidel out of wherever you are. And if it's making a deal that's full of lies, then so be it. So anyway, sad news. Pentagon yesterday identified a gunnery sergeant, Scott Koppenhofer, 35 years old, from 2nd Marine Raider Battalion, what was killed while supporting Iraqi security forces in the Nineveh province of Iraq on Saturday. He survived by his wife and 2 children. He was assigned to the 2nd Marine Raider Battalion out of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, which is supporting Operation Inherent Resolve. He was advising and accompanying the Iraqi security forces on a planned operation, according to CENTCOM. He enlisted in 2005, served 10 years with Special Operations Command, completed 3 previous deployments, including 2 Afghanistan. He earned two Bronze Stars, along with many other accommodations. So keep his wife and his 2 children in your prayers. Headline to follow up on that little report: Taliban say latest talks on withdrawing U.S. troops from Afghanistan have ended, and now both sides will consult with their leadership on the next steps. The 8th round of talks in the Gulf Arab nation of Qatar concluded after midnight and were long and useful, according to a Taliban statement. Last week, another Taliban spokesman said a deal was expected to follow this round as both sides seek to end the nearly 18-year war, America's longest conflict. So, anyway, interesting. Not sure that's not a bad thing. Another headline in Stars and Stripes, Purple Hearts found. Families of fallen service members are reunited with lost medals. Families of warriors who were injured or died while serving during World War II in Vietnam were reunited with lost Purple Heart medals on a day dedicated to the U.S. military's oldest award during a ceremony in New York. The nonprofit foundation Purple Hearts Reunited returned the medals, which included misplaced Navy crosses, during a ceremony Wednesday at the New York City Fire Museum. Every medal and every military item we have returned to is different and has a unique story, said Vermont Army National Guard Captain Jessica Jagers, Operations Director for Purple Hearts Reunited. Past items the organization has returned to service members and families have been found in locations such as Broadway shows, within furniture, and buried in backyards. Now, how would you know who they belong to? Well, I will tell you what. I noticed this. I have my grandfather, Purple Heart. He fought in World War I. And his name is engraved on the back of his Purple Heart. I don't know that we do that anymore. But I don't know they say that. Right? In the article. And they talk about these things being recovered, but how do you identify them? Here's one from a guy who flew in a B-17. Another from a Marine from 1st Battalion, 1st Marines, was killed in 1967. Found inside of the home once rented by this Marine's deceased wife. Yeah, but they don't mention how they identify the medals. Because, right, a medal without a name on it is just a Purple Heart medal. So I think a hole in the story, if you will. But I found it interesting because, you know, I think most people don't know that years ago the name was engraved on that medal. There's U.S. Naval Institute has a number of interesting stories. First, a fleet update that I do every Monday. All right. The Eisenhower Carrier Battle Group and the Stennis Carrier Battle Groups are both at Naval Station Norfolk. The Boxer is in the middle of the Persian Gulf. The Abraham Lincoln Carrier Strike Group is outside the Persian Gulf in the Northern Arabian Sea. The Ronald Reagan is in the vicinity of the Philippines. The WASP Expeditionary Strike Group with Marines embarked is off the coast of Okinawa. So there's your fleet tracker update. They have a story about a Marine raider killed on Saturday. Gunnery Sergeant Koppenhofer from Mancos, Colorado. The rest is all the same information that you heard in the previous statement. So, his hometown was the only additional update. A couple of stories from Marine Corps Times. Headline, Afghanistan President Rejects Foreign Interference as U.S. Taliban Talks Advance. It's an Associated Press story. Afghanistan's president on Sunday rejected foreign interference as the United States and the Taliban appear to be closing in on a peace deal. President Ashraf Ghani spoke during the Muslim holiday of Eid al-Adha. And as U.S. and Taliban negotiators continue their work in the Gulf nation of Qatar, where the Taliban have political offices. Speaking after the Eid prayers, Ghani insisted that next month's presidential election is essential so that the Afghanistan's leader will have a powerful mandate to decide the country's future after years of war. Our future cannot be decided, whether in the capital cities of our friends, nemesis, or neighbors. The fate of Afghanistan will be decided here in this homeland. We don't want anyone to intervene in our affairs. The Taliban have refused to negotiate with the Afghan government, dismissing it as a U.S. puppet. And on Tuesday, they declared that September 28th election a sham. They warned fellow Afghans to stay away from the campaign rallies and the polls, saying such gatherings could be targeted. A day later, the group claimed responsibility for a suicide bombing that targeted security forces in Kabul. The attack killed 14 people, wounded 145, most of them civilians. So, yeah, so how does this work? In case you weren't uptight about it before, right? Don't participate in the election. What? Yeah, God help the people of Afghanistan. The top story, wait, there was one other story I wanted to, no, that's it. Top five stories in Early Bird today. Number one, Kim Jong-un gave a small apology for missile launches, according to President Trump. Yeah, why am I struggling with that? A small apology? What does that mean? What does that sound like? President Trump said Saturday that North Korea's leader, Kim Jong-un, had offered a small apology for launching short-range missiles recently and wanted to begin a dialogue with Washington as soon as this month's American military exercises with South Korea end. The president revealed on Friday that he had received a very beautiful three-page letter from Mr. Kim. He stated very nicely he would like to meet and start negotiations as soon as the joint U.S.-South Korea exercises are over. It was also a small apology for testing the short-range missiles and that this testing would stop when the exercise end. And the president said he looked forward to seeing him. So, yeah. We all have that going for us. So I would think, from the North Korean perspective, what they're saying is, look, if they're going to conduct an exercise, we're going to shoot missiles. Right? We're not going to be, you know, perceived as weak. So it's what we'll do. Anyway, background noise, hopefully. But again, the real question is, does North Korea have any intention? Does North Korea have any intention of standing down its nuclear program? Good question, right? Film at 11, we'll see. The other interesting question is China now, locked into an economic war, if you will, with the United States. And Hong Kong boiling. What will the Chinese do? Will they roll their troops in there? Mass them in a demonstration? Move them towards the airport to scare the shit out of everybody? And will that, you know, would that be enough? Or would we see film of Chinese soldiers beating the shit out of civilians? And would the world see that? And again, not that the Chinese would particularly care about that. But it would be the economic impact of such an event that the Chinese want no part of. So it'll be interesting. Hong Kong, and that's what the people of Hong Kong are leveraging. So the Chinese and the North Koreans are leveraging the upcoming American election. The Chinese position is Trump needs his economy to go well, right? Which it continues to do in spite of all this, which is even humorous, to be honest with you, which gives you some indication of the strength of the American economy. Chinese economy, not so much. But Xi ain't up for re-election. Trump is. And Xi's bet is, without a healthy relationship between us and China, it's going to cost the president in terms of economic votes. So we'll grind him, and we'll drag the negotiations out. And but again, can China agree to what the United States wants? Enforce technology transfers. It's the way they do business. Hell, Google's in the news again today. They opened up, you know, their little office in 2017, and they're saying, yeah, we don't work with the Chinese military. Do you work with China? Yes. Then you work for the Chinese military. Oh, no, we don't. Okay, don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. That's what really irritates me. Well, first of all, I get irritated when anybody does that. But that's what Google's doing in front of God and everybody. What? Us? Of course, we're not no, we're not working with the Chinese military. We're not working on artificial intelligence with the Chinese so they can track people better and create an Orwellian society that Orwell would get his mind blown by. No, we're not doing that. We're just helping them with internet searches and artificial intelligence. Right. Number two story in, so the question is, you know, does North Korea have any intention, or are we just playing charades along the line that the Chinese have played American presidents forever? Right? Forever. Number two, story about Marine Raider dying in Iraq. Number three, new bombshell legal opinion says military retirees can't be court-martialed. Now, I'm curious as to which court decided this and what happens when it gets appealed. A new legal opinion from the Navy Marine Corps Court of Criminal Appeals says court-martialing military retirees is unconstitutional, and the reason concerns the issue of retirement pay. Chief Navy Judge Captain James Crisfield delivered the opinion last week, joined by senior judges Navy Captain Marcus Fulton and Marine Colonel Jonathan Heitzman. The decision was made as a result of an appeal from a retired Chief Petty Officer, Stephen Begani, who was court-martialed after leaving the Navy on charges he attempted sexual abuse of a child. Begani was picked up by NCIS agents on August 5, 2017, a little over a month after he left active duty, and was transferred to the Fleet Reserve. He was arrested when he arrived at a residence at Marine Corps Air Station Iwakuni, where he was employed by a contractor. Begani had been communicating with someone who he believed was a 15-year-old girl, but who was actually an undercover NCIS agent. He was sentenced to 18 months in confinement and a bad conduct discharge, which means he lost his retirement, right? Oh, maybe he wasn't even retired. Well, we're talking about retiree pay, so he had to be retired. Anyway, Begani was court-martialed because of a federal law that leaves some troops subject to the UCMJ long after they hang up their uniform. Marines and sailors who leave active duty after more than 20 years in uniform, but less than 30 and who want to collect retiree pay, move into the Fleet Reserve or the Fleet Marine Force Reserve. There they receive what is essentially retainer pay and can be summoned back to active duty without their consent in event of a war or a national emergency. After 30 years of active service or inactive service, retirees are then transferred to the regular retired list, and they are no longer subject to the UCMJ. So, what'd the opinion say? There is good reason to subject full-time active duty personnel to military jurisdiction, one of the attorneys said. They're performing military duties on a day-to-day basis. There's a compelling government interest in regulating their conduct. But there's not good reason to distinguish among those non-active duty personnel, active duty retirees, retired reservists, and selective reservists for purpose of court-martial jurisdiction. Another lawyer, it's hardly an insignificant obligation maintaining readiness for active service, while not a particular specific demand, undoubtedly requires... It's too much legalese. I know, your eyes are rolling like, Mac, what are you doing? Anyway, so between that 20 and 30 year mark, when you're retired from the reserve, you could still be called back to active duty. In that space, you are still subject to the UCMJ. Because you hear all retirees could be recalled and court-martialed. Not so true. Number four, Afghan president rejects foreign interference as U.S. Taliban talks advance. Number five, 15 Marine Rifle Squad, an exclusive look inside the future infantry. Three fire teams of four, right? You got a squad leader, you got a tech guy, and an assistant squad leader that helps run it, okay? It's a great configuration, to be honest with you. It allows the squad to absorb casualties, right, and continue to operate as we would operate. So, very good. So, that's out there. Not sure why that's in the top five, because it's not very new news. Overseas operation. Russia says its bombers escorted by U.S. jets over the Bering Sea. We do that all the time. And I wanted just real quick, before Alex Hollings joins us, I wanted to go to the story about the Russian nuclear explosion. Let me... It's published about 3 hours ago. An explosion at a northern Russian base that killed at least five people last week, possibly up to seven, involved a small nuclear reactor, state nuclear officials said. The blast occurred Thursday on a platform in the White Sea of Nyaskova and caused a reported nearby radiation spike. State-controlled nuclear energy company Rosatom said the explosion occurred during a test of nuclear isotope power source for a rocket. Vasilov Solovyoya, scientific director of the Russian Federal Nuclear Center, also confirmed to a local newspaper that the institute was studying a small-scale power source that included fissure materials. Both the New York Times and Reuters have reported the same fact. Five scientists from the center were buried on Monday. The country's defense ministry originally said two people were killed in the accident, but Rosatom said five of its workers were killed. The New York Times is reporting seven were killed. Nuclear experts believe the accident occurred during a test of a missile that Russian President Vladimir Putin has touted in the past year. The SSC X-9 Skyfall is a prototype cruise missile that could reach any corner of the world with a nuclear reactor as its power source, the Times reported. The explosion occurred when the rocket's fuel caught fire, according to Reuters. The testers are national heroes, the news release said. Yeah, they are. Russian military officials denied that the blast caused the radiation spike, but the city of Severodvinsk initially posted a statement on its website warning of an increase that was later taken down. The extent of the damage from the accident was not immediately clear, but appears to be much smaller than the Chernobyl disaster in 1986, that according to the New York Times. So, Russia dealing with nuclear fallout again. All right, we'll take a break. More Ball Marine Radio. Alex Holling is going to join us here on a Monday. I couldn't remember what day of the week it was. On a Monday edition of Ball Marine Radio. So, Alex, one of our favorite guys, always interesting. We'll talk to him. More of that coming up next on All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.